For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, Parshas Yisro. Okay, this is the Parsha Kabbalah Satira, so I chose a piece from the Rosh Hashiva that addresses these many pieces that describe the specific details, but let's talk about the entire concept of Kabbalah Satira a little bit. This will be a little bit of part two of last week. As is often the case, there are certain themes which repeat themselves over and over again in the Rosh Hashiva's thought process. Let's begin right away with a Medrash, a very perplexing Medrash. The Medrash says as follows, Moshe Allah El HaElokim, Moshe went up to Hashem, as we know the Torah describes on the simplest level, to be Makabel the Torah, he went up to the mountain. Chazal described, as we are all familiar, that really he spent 40 days and 40 nights up in the heavens in some sphere. He didn't eat anything, he didn't drink anything, he's up there literally dabir, speaking with Hashem. And the Medrash describes various interactions that Moshe has with the Malachim, with the angels during that trip. But also Shoah, says the Medrash, this one's going to be a little different than the one you're familiar with, which we'll get to in a moment. But also Shoah, that moment, Bikshu Malachai Hashores Lifgoya B'Moshe. The angels desired to maim, to harm, to stop Moshe. Asaba Kadosh Baruch Hu Klastirin Shel Panav Shel Moshe Doimel Avram. And at that moment, in order to stop the attack of the Malachim, Hashem made the face, the appearance of Moshe appear like Avram. So that now up in Shemaim is no longer Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah, it looks like Avraham is receiving the Torah. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem then says to the Malachim, Iyatem Isbayishin Heimenu? Are you not embarrassed before this one? Lo Zehu Shiraditem Etzlo Ve'achaltem Besoch Beso? Is this not the one who you went down to the earthly spheres and you ate in his home? Aren't you embarrassed? You're now going to try to stop him from getting the Torah? You ate by him. I use the word by. I know you're not supposed to. You ate at his house. That was just an appropriate use of that. You ate in his house. You were guests of his. You're embarrassed? Now you're trying to hurt him? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Lo Nidna Lo Chatayra Ela B'Zchus Avraham. And that just concludes that Hashem says to Moshe, you're only receiving the Torah in the Zchus of Avraham. Shneimar Lakachtu Matonos Ba'Adom Ve'Nodom Ha'Amar Kan Ela Avraham. I gave you gifts, and the gifts that are being referred to here are the Adam can only, the person, the Adam who received the gifts can only be Avraham. That's our opening Medrash. Very strange Medrash. Now, we're familiar with a different version of this, which we'll get to in a moment. But this version, the Medrash says, when the Malachim are trying to stop Moshe from receiving the Torah, there's no dialogue between Moshe and the Malachim. It's simply Hashem turning Moshe's face into the appearance of Avraham, and then saying to the Malachim, wait, you're not embarrassed? You ate in his house. Yeah, so... I mean, forget it, I tricked the Malachi. I mean, they didn't bring a bottle of wine, they didn't bring a gift. So now you're not embarrassed, you ate in his house. Okay. There's something bigger going on over here than just, I didn't eat that. What's the meaning of that? Let's then connect that with what you are familiar with, I'm sure, because it's quoted much more frequently. That's from the Gemara in Shabbos that basically addresses a similar issue. B'shasha also Moshe Lemorim, the second source. Amru Malachei Ashar Sefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribayna Shalala Ma'ali Yilud Isha Beineinu. In this version, the Malachim come with a claim. They don't try to maim or harm Moshe. They just say, what's this person, human, born of woman, doing up here in the heavens? Amr lehem the Kabbal Torah, Bosh. What do you mean? He's coming here to receive the Torah. Amr lefan of Chamuda Genuza Sheginza Loch Teisha Meos Vashim Yabadoros Kodim Shinivah. This wonderful gift that's been buried up here in Shemayim all these generations, even before the world was created. Ata Mevakesh Litana Lebosar Vidam. You're going to give to a person? To a human? this gift from the heavens to a person? My enosh kitiz keren. What is man that we would even recall him, remember him? Uven odom kitif gedenu, that a person that we should count him for anything. Hashem adoneinu madir shimcha v'chol ha'aretz asher tunahot chol hashomayim. Your glory is up here in heaven. How can you give the Torah to mankind? This is the way the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos records the Malachim's displeasure with the idea of giving the Torah to a person. So Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe hichzir lehen tshuva. So Hashem says to Moshe, "Nu, they could claim the Torah which has been up here for all these generations in its spiritual form. Nu, explain to them. What answer do you have?" Amar lefan Rivoda Shalom. First he says, "I'm afraid that I didn't quote that old Gemara." Amar lefan Rivoda Shalom. Matir shata noisenly maksiv ba. So Hashem Moshe says, "Listen, what does it say in the Torah that you want to give it to me? Anochi Hashem Alakach Hashir Hotzei Sichem Eretz Mitzrayim." You were slaves in Mitzrayim, or the Mitzrayim iradetem. So he says to Malachim, "Were you in Mitzrayim? Leparo ishtabadetem. Were you slaves to Paro? Torah lama tehe lachem. What do you need the Torah for?" Shuv Maksiv ba Moshe says, "Lo yelochol hemachem. You shouldn't have other gods. Bein amim atem shruyim shuvnim avodas. Do you live amongst people who serve idols? Do you know what kind of schmutz we have to live amongst?" Moshe says to the Malachim, "Do you know what it's like to live in America in 2016? You have no idea how crazy it is to live where we have to live, amongst all the schmutz. What do you need the Torah for?" Shuv Maksiv Bazachor Yom HaShabbos LeKodesh Klum Atem Oisim Malach HaShem Jirchem. Do you work 6 days a week? Do you know what it's like to eke out a living? You have any idea? He says to the Malachim, you have to be honest. He says, you deal with business. You know how hard it is to be honest in business. You don't have parents. You have jealousy up here in Shemayim. Miad hodu lo kodesh baruch hu. Hashem immediately acknowledges, agrees. Moshe, ma'adir shimcha b'chal oretz, v'chule. That's the version which, if either one of these two versions you're more familiar with, it would be that second version. That's quoted much more frequently. I believe we've even quoted it here before several times. So question A would be, is there some type of... How do these two fit together? On the one hand, we have Hashem changing Moshe's face to Avraham and saying to them, "Aren't you embarrassed?" On the other hand, you have a separate type of conversation which Moshe himself responds and says, "It's not relevant to you." So how do those fit? And question two would be, even within Moshe's second response, you'd say, the Malachim should respond to him and say, "I know, that's our claim. You're a human. You're so lowly. You have parents. You have jealousy. You go to the bathroom. You live amongst Avodah Zarah. How can... Wasn't that our claim? They should have said, but that's what we said. We said, Hashem, how can you give the Torah, this special gift that's been buried up here in the heavens for so long, how could you give it to a person? What we meant was, people live amongst idolatry. People are born. People die. People go to the bathroom. People have jealousy." And Moshe says, but we have parents. But we have jealousy. That's what we said. There, it's almost as if we're not really talking to each other as far as this argument. So, I want to explain, or share with you, not explain, I'm going to just try to share with you. Yeah?
According to this, did the Malachim have the Torah, or was hidden somewhere? Like, they just didn't want anyone to have it, or did they have, like, use it, or whatever?
I believe the Rosh Hashiva's approach, and I believe this is more common, this is not just synthesis, is that the Torah clearly existed in a form that existed up in the heavens in Shemayim before rather than the form that we have here.
But it was something that Malachim, like, used or did? Or it was just, they knew it was there. And it
but
was
I,
like,
that I can't tell you, because I don't understand there. That. In other words, the example that I have given, and I remember from where along my days I've picked this up on, is, and I've said this here before, if you take a bright light and you shoot it through a prism, so on the other side, you'll get the refracted light that will be blue, red, yellow, orange, all the colors. If you're on that other side of the prism, so you see it in its various forms. If you're on the first side, you just see the white light. So the form that we have of the Torah is the lowest of all of those refractions that make sense to us in this world of parents and jealousy and Yetzer Hara. But the Torah clearly existed in a form before it was given to mankind. For all these generations, before the world's created, there was no paro. What did it say in the Torah? There was a form, in a much more spiritual form, before it was brought down to this world in the manifestation that we have now. That's all the various understandings of Torah that we can have. We can read the words now that have various other meanings and understandings because we have the lowest manifestation form, expression of it, through the prism of the world, the finite Olam Hazeh, which has been created, which then the Torah manifests in a certain way, but its Koach is much deeper than that in a more pristine form. If those words make sense or not, I don't know if they make sense. But that's sort of what the Malachim wanted. They wanted to keep it in the form that it was. Yeah.
And do we assume that it still is up there in its form, and we have a different form, or it is
we
not
have
there
no.
In its form?
That, there's another shmuz which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. That Yeshiva speaks about a lot also. That when Hashem sides with Moshe and gives us the Torah, what he did was he gave us the bailus, the ownership of the Torah, in which we now paskin halacha. We now determine when Rosh Hashanah is. Based in Shalmato, a bunch of human beings will determine, so that up in Shomayim, they say to the Rebbe Shalom, when's the Yom HaDin? And he says, I don't know, let's find out when based in Paskins, because when they decide Rosh Chodesh, that's when Rosh Hashanah is. I will sit in judgment when they tell me it's time. The world will sit in its Kedusha of Pesach when they decide so. And that's really the battle between the Malachim and Moshe, in which the Malachim say, you can't give over ownership of the Torah, which is what Hashem did by giving it to us, to man? Or it can't.
Right.
And Hashem says, yeah, I will.
This conversation is after Matan Torah, when Moshe goes up.
This is when Moshe is up there.
Before, but it's after Hashem already gives it to us, pretty much, no?
I mean, it seems like this is during, that kind of question in terms of the details, I don't know how to address.
Was Moshe up there before Vav Sivan, or was it only after?
He goes up and down several times. Okay. Obviously, Moshe's aware of what it says in the Torah in his debate with the Malachim, so I don't know how to take a medrash like this in terms of dispute. You know, if Moshe wouldn't have come up with a good argument, then Hashem would have said, forget it, forget Klal Yisrael.
Well, Moshe didn't. I thought Hashem already decided that he was giving it to
Correct, 100%. That's
Moshe's
right, so that's a mean. And if Moshe didn't come up with his argument, so then what? Then he doesn't give us the Torah. The whole world until that point. Right, so there's a question, how do we understand this? So clearly there's a meaning behind this. Yeah, but...
So if angels don't have free will, and they can only do what Hashem tells them to do, then how can they decide to go harm Moshe? Or how can they decide to say,
good question.
I'm going to protect this, it doesn't belong to where Hashem wants to give it?
That's a good question.
I don't understand that.
I'm not going to answer that. Not because I know the answer and I'm deciding to withhold it from you. I can't address that now. I don't have the answer. But clearly that's all part of... how to read a medrash, what's the meaning behind this, I don't know.
What's with the 974
generation? Also a good question. This Gemara is, you know, you could ask 1,000 questions, and I don't have the answers to them, but, you know, there's a specific amount of time before the world was created.
But why did you do this? Was there a reason?
To confuse you. My goal is to confuse you. Yeah.
I mean, what are they meaning for anyway? I mean, it's four people.
I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva who once used to say that a good shir, he's talking to giving a Gemara shir. He would say, so you give a Gemara shir, so what you do is you read the Gemara as a Rebbe to the students, and you give a slight explanation of the Gemara that's wrong. And because the way you explained it was a little bit wrong, so he said, well then, you're going to have a problem here, and then that's not going to make sense, and then that's going to make sense, and then you say, but if you read it like this, everything makes sense. You know, but that's not my goal. He was just joking around. Okay, in any case, so we have a problem here. The problem is as follows. We have one medrash which describes the Malachim literally trying to harm Moshe, and the response to that is making him look like Avraham and saying, how could you not be embarrassed? We have another Gemara, which we have to figure out if they go together, which is this long conversation which Moshe in essence says to them, what do you mean? We're humans. We need the Torah. And the Malachim said, that's why we don't want to give it to you, is because you're human. And Moshe says, that's the winning argument that Hashem says, you see, they need it, they're human. So Shiva explained as follows. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, which we quoted, it's really a brisa. We quoted it last week as well. Kol mashe baruch kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo lo baro ela lichvodo. Everything that Hashem created in His world, He created only for His kavod shene emar. Kol hanikra bishmi ulichvodi. Everything that's called in My name and in My honor, for I created that, I formed it, I made it. And everything that I formed, I made, and I created was done specifically in order to give Me kavod. And despite the fact that in the upper realms, the realms of spirituality, the realms of the Malachim, the realm of the Shemayim, there is pure spiritual essence which recognize and understand the concept that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem created a world down here that is finite, that is physical, that is in the lowly elements of the world, and said, within that world, there is a Nekuda, there is a core of Kedusha that gives its life, that give everything life. Ata mechaye es kulam. The Ata, the You, the spiritual element, gives existence, sustenance, life to everything in the world. And what I want you to do is, in this world, give Me kavod too. I have plenty of kavod up in the realms of the spiritual, but I created a finite world on that other side of that prism that looks real, physical, and tangible. Give Me kavod from that world also. And I created a people, Amzu Yatzarti Li Tehilasi Yisaper, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, I formed this nation and they will sing and tell over My praise. They will be an Am in this world, which is as physical as it comes, and they're going to sing My praise from this world. I have Malachim to sing Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in the heavens, but what I want to be able to do is to be megala the or mitocha choshech, as Rosh Hashiva used to say over and over again. Reveal the light from within the darkness. And that only we can do. Only a human being has the ability to live within the darkness of the Olam Hazeh and find the light. Shine light on it and bring out the element of Kedusha that exists within that particular light. How does that work? How does it work, and where do we see such a concept? The Yeshiva understood there's a concept of Soif Masa b'machshava tchila. We say that every week in davening. Soif Masa, the end of all actions, b'machshava tchila, are really in the origin, in the beginning of thought process. And he used to explain as follows. Take this table here that we have in front of us, for example. Why was this table made? I don't know, maybe use. What intention did the manufacturer of this table have when he made this table?
So we could sit here and learn.
I disagree.
To make money.
They make money. Right? What was he thinking when he made it that it was going to be used for?
He didn't care.
He didn't care. And not only did he not care, it doesn't matter. This table is a table. And if he was thinking it was going to be used for a library, if he was thinking it was going to be used in a high school, if he was thinking it was going to be used in a shul, it's the same table. So it goes with dvorim gashmiyim, with physical things in the world. It's, once the person has made it, it exists outside of him, and it's there. Person builds a house, and then he goes away. The house is there. And it will be there for as long as the house can maintain itself. And the creator of the house leaves nothing. The house is a house. Whatever quality put in it is. And that is not true when it comes to Dvarim Ruchnim. It's not true. We have a concept called Lishma. If you want to make a Sefer Torah, so as you press and work the animal hide into cloth, if you were to make the cloth Lishma, now that cloth becomes fit for a Sefer Torah. If you didn't, then you can't use that cloth for Sefer Torah, and there's nothing that you can do to make it viable. It's done. It was made, and it was not done lishma. It doesn't have that status. Same thing with threads to make tzitzis. You could spin them. If you spin them lishma, they become fit for use for a pair of tzitzis. If you go to Tuesday morning and you buy yourself some string, you can't use them. There's a fundamental difference in the object. One object being made lishma has a certain halachic status and can be used for certain things, and the other one doesn't. and can't be. We even have a concept called hazmana milsehi. You can designate something, and in the designation alone, it has a certain status. You can designate certain tachrichin, certain burial shrouds to be used for a certain purpose, and that alone gives it a certain status. You can take a bag and say, this is going to be for my tefillin. I never even used it, but I designated it for something, and my thought process in what I am making it for or planning on using it for actually has an impact on the object, which doesn't apply in the world around us. You can make a table, whatever you had in mind. I wanted to use this table for a library, and the person who bought it wants to use it for their house. Yeah, that's do whatever you want. But if I make something in the realm of Kedusha for a certain purpose, that has an impact on the reality of whatever it was that I made. And that's what's known as the concept of Lishma, of specifically being able to do something and elevating it into a new realm in which the Metzius, the essence of what you did, is now impacted by the process that you had, the thought process, why it is that you were doing something. One of the places where we see this in its extreme is Avram Avinu. And we see this by Avram Avinu in his hosting of his guests. The Medrash describes it, Amar Reb Shmuel, it's the second to last on the first sheet. Amar Reb Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amar L'Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Avram, Ani Umnasi Gomel Chasad. My craft, my trade, is to be a Gomel Chasad. Tafasta Umnusi. You took my trade. Bo levosh levushi, come adorn yourself or wear my clothing, so to speak. You did what I do. Where do we see Moshe Avraham tafasta umnasi? So the Medrash says, in background to answer that question, the Gemara, I should say, Masechta Sota, Amar Reb Chama, a Gemara I'm sure you've seen quoted before as well, Amar Reb Chama, Reb Chanina, Mai Dechsev, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teiluch, the Pasuk says, go after Hashem, walk after Him. V'chi Efshar Lo La'odim L'Halach Achar Shechina, the Gemara says, what do you mean, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teiluch? Halo Kfar Nemer, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Eisho, Echolohu, Hashem is a consuming fire, you can't just like walk with Hashem. The Gemara Darshan, what this means is that you should follow the traits, the characteristics, the behaviors of Hashem. Mahu malbish arumim, in the same way that Hashem clothes the naked. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from the Gan Eden, where Hashem made clothing for Adam and for Chava. Afato halbish arumim. So you be like Him. You should give clothes to those who don't have. Kodesh Baruch Hu Bikur Cholim, as Hashem visits the sick. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Afato Bikur Cholim. You have to visit the sick. Kodesh Baruch Hu Nichem Aveilim, Hashem comforts the mourners. Afato Nichem Nachem Aveilim. You need to comfort the mourning. Kodesh Baruch Hu Kovar Mesim. Hashem buries the dead. Afato Kvar Mesim. Mahu Afato. Just like Hashem acts, that is what our job is. The halachta bidrachov, to walk in His ways, Achrei Hashem Elokecha Teilechu, is holech achar midosov. To be literally like, godlike in our behaviors. So Malachim come to Avram, and he takes them in. The Torah describes what takes place, all the preparations that go into it, and then they eat. The pasuk describes Vayeshu Vayochlu. Malachim, they ate.
They're not supposed to eat or drink.
Malachim don't eat or drink. So again, the whole story is difficult. So they were dressed up as people. They come passing by, and Hashem Avram takes them in. He washes their feet, and then the Torah says they ate. The pasuk says that they ate. So you could look at this in a couple of ways. So Tosa says, and the Gemara discusses this, Tosa says, I can't be they ate. I don't think they ate. They're malachim. They look like they ate, he says. Medrash says, Pasuk says, they ate. Top of the second page, Kol ha'omer lo achlu malachei asher eitzel Avraham, lo yamra klum. Anyone who claims that the malachim didn't actually eat in the house of Avraham, ignore him. He's not saying anything. They ate. Malachim ate. B'tzidkaso shel oso tzadik, because of the righteousness of Avraham, uvischar torach shetarach, and is a merit for the toil that he went through to get everything ready. Pasach lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu es pihem va'ochlu. Hashem opened their mouths and they ate. Because he was tereach. He worked on this. He ran around, he got his wife to run around, shechted an entire animal, and the tongue, and the mustard, everything. Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu es pihem va'ochlu. As a schar to Avraham, and bitzidkoso shalos tzadik, which means, that's you need, something special happened here. Of course, malachim can't eat, and they shouldn't eat, but as a schar in the house of Avram Avinu, the malachim ate.
I don't understand the question. Why can't malachim eat?
I guess because they don't have innards, they don't have...
Because, you know, like, they're doing all these things that, you know, that really, you know, that it's not Emma.
Yeah.
So what's the question?
It's a fine question. Why it is specifically that eating has all of the, both Chazal, the Rishonim, worked up, like how can it be that they ate? I don't know if there's something special about eating. I don't know the answer.
Was up there, he didn't eat or drink. Moshe,
I know, but it's a fair question. They washed their feet.
They were wearing clothes.
Moshe goes to that
clothing
world, he doesn't eat. When they come to our world, they eat. You know, it's like
something
your host does, you know?
So I hear your question. I hear your question. There's something clearly about food that is more difficult, that Tosfos has to say, no, they didn't really, it looked like they were eating. He's not bothered by them washing their feet.
It takes a lot of energy to eat.
But then they have bodies in the first
place. Right, so I'm saying he doesn't ask. They wash their feet, they don't have feet. They wash their feet. Everything. Food he's bothered by. Tosfos says, it can't be. It looked like they were eating. And the Medrash says, they did eat, and it was a special Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as PM, something about eating. I don't care, lechem, lo alechem, yichya ha'adam, I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's worth looking into why specifically food was so troubling to Chazal, that Tosfos says it can't be. Chazal say, no, it is, and it was a special nes that it was chus to Avram. There's something about eating that the Malachim ate, and it really goes back to the Medrash that we started with. When the Malachim, which we're going to get back to in a second, but just to pose the question, when the Malachim say, we're stopping Moshe from getting the Torah, and Hashem says, Lo zu shiradetem et lo va'achaltem b'soch beso. There's something that, aren't you embarrassed? You ate in his house.
Well, you accepted chesed from him.
But they don't say...
No, but eating is more. Isn't that a more greater form of chesed than, I don't know, washing feet or sitting down on a chair? I don't know. It takes a lot more effort to prepare the food than to pour some water or to give you a chair.
It's very Jewish.
For sure, that's why. This is the source. This is the source.
But could it have to do like when we ate man, we didn't have any excrement, so that we were on a pure level.
Correct.
So maybe the food is...
No, that's exactly it. I think that's exactly the point. And in putting the whole picture together, which we don't have the full picture, but in the same way that Klal Yisrael with man, it ate and it absorbed into their bodies. It wasn't normal food. Food is one of the ways of the chibur bein guf v'neshama. The connection between our body and our soul is through food. If we don't eat, we die. If we do eat, we can somehow live, and somehow through the food, we maintain our bodies, which maintains our neshama. V'lo al alechem yichya adam. It's not just on food. Ki amotzei pi Hashem. There's food is a somehow a more central, critical element. So I want one more medrash, and then we'll try to put this together. One medrash. The pasuk says, "Vayikachem v'chalu v'venav v'kar asher asah." Avraham ran and he took the chema and the chalav, the milk, the butter, v'venav v'kar and the meat asher asah that he had prepared. We'll leave aside the basar b'chalav questions for now.
Who was the chalav first?
The chalav was first. Right, clear. Vayitain lefnehem, and he put it before them. Vahu omed aleihem tachas ha'etz vayochelu. That's our pasuk. And he stood over them under the tree. Vayochelu. They ate. And it's on this pasuk that all the discussion takes place. How could they possibly eat? But that's the pasuk. He took the chem of the chal of the ben makar. He stood over them. Medrash says, Vahu omed aleihem. The pasuk implies that Avraham is standing over the malachim. In this pasuk, later into the story, it says Avram standing over them. But earlier in the parsha, it says Nitzavim alav ayar vihine shlosh anashim Nitzavim alav. When Avram first looks up, he sees three malachim coming, and the language of the Torah is Nitzavim alav, which literally translates into they're standing over him. So the Medrash says, I don't understand. In the beginning of the story, the Malachim are standing over Avraham. In the end of the story, the Torah uses the language to say that Avraham's standing over them. But before they literally put out their hands, meaning before they needed him and benefited from him in any way, Nitzavim alav, they're over him. Kaven Shiyatzi Yadehem, but after, literally they put out their hands, after they've now been involved with him and he's fed them and taken care of him. For who omid aleihem? Now he's standing over them. A maso mutelas aleihem. The fear of Avraham was upon them. Michael Mirsos, the angel Michael was trembling. Gavriel Mirsos, the angel Gavriel was trembling. Says the Medrash, something changed here. We went from Malachim are over, showing power, dominion over Avram. Makes sense. But by the end of the story, it's not just, as the Medrash, that Avram is now reversed and standing over them, but that they're bemirsas, they're trembling as they eat. What is the meaning of the Malachim turning to trembling as they now eat before an Avram Avinu? So Sheshiva understood the beginning of the pasuk, Vayikach chema v'chalu v'vena v'kar asher asa. This instance of Avraham was, from its inception, an example of chesed lishma, where it was done, every single thing that was done was not, oh, I happen to have some bread, let me offer it to you. I have orange juice in the refrigerator, would you like a glass? I went and made and did everything for the ability to take in my guests. Three total strangers who he thinks are these passerbys, passerbyers, whatever they are, people passing by, and to be able to provide for them. And in doing so, elevated himself and the chesed that he's doing, so much so that there is a shift from the malachim over Avraham. And this action that he embarks on of chesed, tafasta umnosi. It's not just that you offered them something. Hashem says, you took my trade. Ma'ata, mahu afata. Just like Hashem is mevaker cholim, is malbish arumim. You were me. And in that action, there's this shift, the pasuk says, where now Avraham stands over the malachim, and they are trembling in fear. The way the Rosh Hashiva learned, what are they trembling over? They're trembling over the image of a human being being godly. When we came from Shemayim, we know what it's like to see the Ribbono Shel Olam and his midos, and you're a lowly human being, and we're nitzavim alav, we're over him. And now we just saw an example of a human being acting for the sake of that chesed. You act like God. And there's a mirsas. A human being? A human being? And what does Hashem do to them? Because of the tarach, the effort that Avraham put through, he makes them eat. Medrash says, and this was unique, this was out of the ordinary, he made Malachim eat out of the, as a schus of the tzidkaso shel Avram, the toirach shetorach bo. The effort that he put through, that Avram now stands over them, and they're in trepidation, and they eat. Because a human being just achieved godliness. And the malachim tremble. And when the malachim see a Moshe up there in Shemayim, and they say, get out of here! You can't take the Torah! Zok the Medrash. He looks like Avraham now, doesn't he? Aren't you embarrassed? Isn't he the one that you ate in his house? this human being, you angelic beings, had to eat in his chus because of what he became. Which is really the flip side of Moshe's argument in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos that says, yeah, we're human. That's exactly right. With our Yetzer Hara, with our kina, with our parents, with the fact that we live, that we die, we go to the bathroom in between, we live amongst the schmutz of Avodah Zarah. And you're going to be trembling before what a Jew can accomplish. And you'll eat with us. And to that, Miyad Hodela Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem immediately acknowledges Moshe and says, Kol ma shebara ba'olami barasi lech, I create everything for my kavod. And there's a kavod that can take place in this world that the malachim can't touch. A malach can't touch that kavod of saying, in all my physicality, and in all my human frailty, and with all my jealousy, and my yetzer hara, I'm going to be so godly, with the intent that I have in doing everything right, that I can transform an angel. An angel will come to my house and eat. That's Avraham Avinu. No, not all of us can accomplish what Avraham Avinu accomplished, but Avraham did. And so when Moshe receives the Torah, Hashem says to the Malachim, aren't you embarrassed? You're trying to stop this from happening. You ate in his house. He became so great that he stood over you and you trembled, and I had to open your mouth to feed you in the kavod to Avraham. So the Moshe says, yeah, what do you need the Torah? We need the Torah. Look at who we are, and look who we could become with that Torah. And to that, Hashem is miyad hoidelo, and we have a Kabbalah Satorah of this week's parsha. It's a continuation, a little bit of the ideas that we were discussing last week of Moshe's kvad peh, the idea of the intersection of guf and neshama. But in the Rosh Hashiva's thoughts, over and over and over again, our task is to take and to celebrate the guf and live an animal, physical life like an angel. That's what we do. We reveal the light amongst all the darkness, and we take all that we have and all that we are, and we elevate it to the point where the malachim tremble in our presence. That's the kavod to the Ribono Shel Olam that only we can give through the choshech to create such a level of kedusha. All right.
I don't know if I would say better, but certainly unique.
A malach can't. What's that?
Right. A malach doesn't have free choice.
Correct. And therefore, in other words, if you remember, it goes back to also that idea of, what you said, if you were created and we could get a 7 for free. But if you are created, so you can go down to a 2, but you also can get a 10. Only we can do that perfect. And malach can't do that. Right, we're mahalchin bein ha'omdim, as the pasuk says. We are those who go up and down amongst those who are omdim. And the kavod that we can give of becoming an Avraham through the physicality that we live, nothing in the world can do that. The animal kingdom can't do that. The malachim can't do that. Only we can do that. And the kavod that we can bring, like, what does the Baruch Hu need us for? Because his universe would not be perfect without the only thing that he can't do, which is create somebody who on their own can choose to give him kavod. Mitoch the choshech that's necessary to make it our ability to do so. So why did he create us? Because we're the only things in the universe that can do that. And it's that you almost can't say the words, he needs us. This is the philosophical question. Right? But we're the only creature. He created us to fulfill that element of kavod that nothing else in the universe can do, of with all of our physicality and all of the darkness, to still say kadosh, 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 like a malach, and to achieve a level of chesed that's so lishma, of just like tafasta umnasi, you took my craft, that the malach trembles in our presence because you became greater than us. And to that, Hashem says, aren't you embarrassed? You ate. You ate. Is there nothing more physical? You ate in their presence. That's our job. That's our task. That's our task.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.